I'm a happy Christian this morning. Hope you are. Amen. Glad the Lord saved me. I'm going down this road rejoicing over what the Lord has done for me. Amen. I'm glad for what the Lord's done for you. Thankful for the people of God. Thankful for what the Lord has been doing. We're glad you're here in the house of the Lord. Psalm chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. Psalm chapter 12, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words. You can count on them. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we have to preach your word this morning. We're thankful, O God, that you have assembled us as we are this day. I pray for the moving of your Spirit in this congregation. I ask you for your help and your anointing in preaching the gospel. I ask you, Lord, to do good in the hearts and lives of the hearers. I pray that you draw us unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the power of the Holy Ghost be evident here in this service, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning on this topic, when faithful men are few. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. When faithful men are few. The health of our society depends upon the size and the strength of that community of people who belong to God. Many people in our society recognize that this is a sick society. We are not lacking in religion, but something's bad wrong. And in my text, David sensed the same thing about Israel, and he penned his thoughts under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And I want to examine 3 points in this psalm. First of all, the crisis. Secondly, the consequence. And thirdly, the cure. First of all, there's the crisis. David says in my text, the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. This is the crisis that David sees in his nation. The godly man, the faithful men are few, are rare. It's a crisis. The Amplified Bible identifies the godly man as the principled man. That is the man whose behavior is consistent with the principles of God's Word. The godly man is that person whose behavior and whose attitude does not change with the constant fluctuation of belief and behavior in the world. He is faithful. His behavior is predictable. He has a record of obedience to God in all times and circumstances. He is a faithful man. Now, from my text, it is obvious that David is distressed about this state of affairs. For the ungodly man, the news that godly men are scarce is hardly news at all. It doesn't bother him that the faithful are few, that godly men are scarce. That doesn't bother a man that is ungodly. But it bothers a man who is righteous. It bothers a man who is godly. It bothered David. And it will bother everybody who belongs to God when good men, when faithful men are few. And it troubled David. He knew the value of faithful and godly people to his nation. And he cries, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases and the faithful fail from among the children of men." But I'm telling you that not only David, but Satan also knows the value of faithful men. So it's his aim to eventually empty our nation of the godly. And toward that end, he campaigns constantly to try to reduce the number of godly people in this land and to negate their influence in this country. This is the purpose of Satan, is to make faithful men few. And I know that we've got to be careful when we start counting the righteous, but it seems to me that the godly are rare and the faithful are few in this land. And the passing of time does not bring any relief. It seems to get worse and increases the distress of the dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ when they look around and see that faithful men are few. Now I hope that I'm like Elijah and that I have underestimated by at least 7,000 to 1. I hope I have. Underestimated. At least by 7,000 to 1, Elijah thought he was the only one left. And God said, "Elijah, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You just don't know about them, but I got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." And I'd be happy to be wrong. But I honestly know few people who remain loyal to the truth, brother, that are godly not just in the house of God, but in their homes and on their jobs and at their school and wherever they are, they carry high the honor of the name of the Lord. Where are the godly? Where are the men who are committed to the kingdom of God above all other interests in life? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And he said, "All the things that you need will be added unto you." Where are those men that the interest of the kingdom of God is their first priority in life? Where are the fathers whose allegiance to Christ is unquestionable and their dedication to the salvation of their wife and children is obvious? They protect the purity of their family, shelter them from bad influences, counsel them in the ways of God. Where are godly fathers? Where's the man who prays diligently for his family, for his church, for his community, for his nation? Where is the man who hates sin and loves the sinner? I say to you that the faithful men are few. This is the devil's purpose, to rob this nation of faithful men. And he knows if he can rob this nation of godly people and faithful men, he'll have the run of the place. Where is that woman whose first loyalty is to Christ, who gives herself to benefit her husband and her children, sacrifices her self-interest for the well-being of the souls of her children? Where is that woman that loves God and loves the people of God and seeks to build that same love and loyalty in her children? Who refuses to tear down the confidence of her children in the people of God, but instead builds loyalty to God and builds loyalty to the people of God because she knows it's essential to the salvation of her children? Where are those parents who would rather die than watch their children live a life that dishonors God? Where is that man and woman who cries like that of, whose heart cries like that of John Wesley? This is what he said. I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. A few months hence, and I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God Himself has condescended to teach that way. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me that book. Hallelujah. Where are the men and the women who could say with Job, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. This book means more to me than the steak and potatoes and green beans on the table. Hallelujah. I realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother, we are feeding our bodies well and starving our souls to death. Where's that man and woman who could honestly echo the cry of David in Psalm 42? As the heart of the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. We've satisfied our soul on the filthy, polluted waters of the world until there's no thirst in us for God anymore. But when you empty your soul of the polluted waters of the world, then there's a thirst in your soul for God, and there's something yearning in you to know Him better and to experience Him every day of your life. The faithful, the godly, are those whose soul is refreshed daily by attendance to Bible study and earnest prayer. When I observe the spiritual state of the church, the nation that I live in, I cry with David, help, Lord! Help, Lord! For the godly ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. There's a consequence to that. That's why David was so disturbed. There's a consequence to the fact when faithful men are few. My text demonstrates the societal disorders when faithful men are few. First of all, David tells us that there's dishonesty in society. In verse 2, they speak vanity, lies. Everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart, deceiving heart, do they speak. And then there's rebellion in society. Verse 4, who have said with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Thirdly, there's cruelty in society where faithful men are few. Notice in verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. He sees the oppression of the vulnerable in society. Fourthly, when faithful men are few, there is the exalting of evil and evil men. Notice in verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We honor the dishonorable. Those are the four things in this chapter that result when faithful men are few. When the godly cease from among men, there's dishonesty. People speak lies and live lies. Trust is broken. Trust is broken between government and people. Trust is broken between pastor and pew. Trust is broken between husband and wife when there's dishonesty, when people... relationships are unstable when trust has been eroded. Jeremiah complained of his fellow countrymen in Jeremiah 2 and 3. They be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. Listen to me now. Lying and adultery go together. Nobody cheats on their companion until they are committed to telling and living a lie. How many people have made themselves a liar by breaking their vow to be faithful to their companion till death do us part? You know, the marriage vow these days seems to be spoken with crossed fingers. How many husbands in this congregation have followed through on your vow to love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health? Do you still love and cherish her as you promised to do until death do you part? And how many wives in this assembly have kept your vow to your husband to have and to hold from this day forward in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish until death do you part? Now, I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. I want you to know that your vow included more than enduring each other until you die. Did you get that? Your vow included more than enduring each other until you die. You committed to a relationship in which you both honor and cherish one another. Got a few amens out there. Listen. You cannot at the same time cherish her and revile her. If your wife is afraid of your wrath, you have violated your oath. If your husband dreads to come home and hear your constant sniping and contention, you violated your oath, your vow to that man. Boy, people looking around here now. We're talking about honesty, telling the truth, living the truth. Here's what happens when godly men cease, when the faithful fail from among men. Dishonesty, broken relationships. People have to put locks on their doors, lock their cars, put bars on their windows. Businesses have to have cameras outside and inside. The police station cameras all through the city, keeping a watch on people because they can't trust anybody. I'm telling you, brother, it's the kind of society we live in because the faithful fail from among men. And when the faithful are few, I'm telling you, it disrupts society. There's rebellion. They say, "Who is Lord over us?" That rebellion's bred in us. We inherit it from Adam, our father. It really is the spirit of Satan who is the first rebel. Satan is the first rebel. And every rebel is a follower of Satan. We are missing in a society where the faithful are few. We are missing the checks to rebellion. We're missing parental instruction and discipline. There's little or no exposure to the Word of God. So the checks to the rebellious nature of our children are missing in a society where the faithful are few. And there's encouragement to rebellion in that society. In this society, there's encouragement to rebellion. Peer pressure. Our children, when the relationship between parents and children is very weak, then the children choose the influence of their peers over the influence of their parents. And their peers encourage their rebellion. The entertainment culture, when faithful men are few, is a culture that cultivates rebellion. It's a culture that cultivates generation gaps. It's a culture, the entertainment culture seeks to drive a wedge between parents and children, make rebels out of the children, and steer them down a road of sorrow and despair and destruction. Look at the entertainment world. In just the last few days, a 27-year-old star singer dead at her own hands, overdosed in Britain. A 47-year-old entertainer dead, perhaps at his own hands, famous and miserable. Because I'm telling you, brother, there's no satisfaction in a life of rebellion. It's encouragement to rebellion, peer pressure, the entertainment culture, the educational system, the humanistic educational system has as its goal to tear down the principles put in children by their parents. Broken families result in angry children. The riots in Great Britain this past week, thousands of young people in the streets, burning houses, burning apartment buildings, burning places of business, burning cars on the streets, breaking into places of business, hauling off the goods, stealing the goods out of those places of business. Young people as young as 11 years old. Teenagers parading up and down the streets, throwing stones at the policemen, rebelling. And the politicians scratching their heads, trying to figure out what caused this, what brought this about, what's wrong. Hear me now. Politicians are looking for answers. And they act like the family and the church has no role in a stable society. Do you hear me? I said the politicians are looking for answers, and they act like that the church and the family has no role in a stable society. They look everywhere but in the right place for the answers. You know why? It ain't politically correct to look there. And professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Thirdly, when faithful men are few, society is cruel. They oppress the vulnerable. In Britain, an elderly man caught on the streets, beaten to death by the rebels. Three men seeking to guard the community, brutally killed by these rampaging teens. In America, over 40 million dead infants legally killed in this country, over 40 million abortions since 1973. Hey, y'all, just get this. Just listen to me. 163 million girls killed in the womb or abandoned to die in Asia over the last 30 years. 163 million girls, because they don't want girls. And that is more females than live in the United States of America right now. For the past 30 years, 163 million, some killed in the womb, some abandoned to wild dogs, and to die of famine. When faithful men are few, society is cruel. When faithful men are few, we exalt evil people. We honor the dishonorable. The scriptures say the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. This is when faithful men are few, when the godly cease from among men. We do not honor those who dishonor the Lord. We don't honor entertainers who dishonor our God. We don't honor motion pictures, movie stars and the sports figures and all of these entertainers, singing entertainers. We don't honor them when they dishonor our Lord. They're not exalted in our mind and heart. We only honor those who honor the Lord. There are no pictures of Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe on the walls of godly and faithful people. We don't honor people who dishonor our Lord. This is what happens when faithful men are few. We exalt evil. Boy, y'all, I feel like preaching, y'all. If y'all just wait on me just a few more minutes here. There's a woman on the United States Supreme Court who favors lowering the age of consent for young girls to 12 years of age. She's been exalted to a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. There was a man appointed to an educational position in this present administration that has long promoted legalizing relations between men and young boys. I'm telling you that when the faithful are few, when the godly cease, we exalt evil, we honor the dishonorable. And societal disorder is the natural result when the faithful are few. But there is a cure. You know, sometimes we look around in despair. Hey God, how could this happen in the United States of America? How could this go on in a nation that has on its coins, "In God we trust"? How could this happen? Here is the cure. David saw it in his nation, and he cried and said, "Help, Lord." There's a cry for help from the heart of a broken man as he looks around as faithful men are few. And he says, "God, we have got to have help in this land." And I say, when God's people wake up, when God's people begin to cry, when God's people begin to seek Him for help, He said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, and I'll hear from heaven," he says, "and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And God has given us a wonderful promise, and everybody in this place ought to take that promise and go to God and say, "Help, Lord." God will respond. Said in verse 5, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, says bless the Lord. It seemed like that God had been inactive, but God's getting up now. God's beginning to arise. God's beginning to move. He heard the cry of His servant, "Help, Lord!" And now God's getting up and God's beginning to move. We're desperately searching for a Savior among presidential candidates. But I'm telling you that our help is not in the White House, but it's in God's house. This is where our help is going to come from. And we've got to cry to God, "Help, Lord, help us. We need divine help." We're not looking for a Savior in the Republican Party. We're looking for a Savior from heaven. In a democratic society, politics is influenced by culture. And culture is influenced by faith. And defective faith leads to toxic culture. And toxic culture leads to dysfunctional politics. And that's what we've got in this country. We've got in this country a defective faith, and therefore a toxic culture, and therefore a dysfunctional politics. That's what we've got in the United States of America. But we can't go to the end of the stream and correct the problem. We've got to go back to the starting of the stream. We've got to go back to the faith. We've got to go back to the people of God. We've got to go back to the house of God. And the house of God, in the house of God, that's where the cure is, brother. We've got to cry to God, "Help, Lord!" I'm telling you, it means something when God hears the cry of His children and gets up. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. When God gets up, when God arises, when God begins to move. Oh, hallelujah. All of the laws that men pass, all of the good deeds that men do, they cannot affect what God can do in a moment of time. When God gets up, when God arises, when God begins to move. It's amazing what the Lord does in a moment of time. Sister Pettit, the Pettits were here last Sunday morning. She shared with my wife testimony of God moving in their youth camps in the Philippines. She told the story of a woman that was convicted in the youth camp. The preacher did not preach on the things she was convicted of. But God was moving in that youth camp and transformed her life. She came to Sister Pettit. She said, "Sister Pettit, I want to make myself accountable to you in five areas of my life." She said, "I'm a wedding consultant." And she said, "I have felt condemned applying makeup to the brides." And she committed herself to abandon this practice. "I'm going to be accountable to you." She committed herself to being a wife available to her husband. She was a businesswoman. She didn't have time for her husband. She committed herself to making herself available to her husband. She owned a store. And she committed herself to closing her store on the Lord's Day. She said, "I'm going to make myself accountable to you." She committed herself to change her style of clothing. She said, "I'm going to watch you, Mom Pettit. And if you won't wear it, I won't wear it. If I put it on and you disapprove of it, I won't do it. I'm going to watch you, Mom Pettit. I'm making myself accountable to you." She committed herself to be a mother to her children. She had told the grandmother to mother her children while she conducted her various businesses. And now then she says, "I'm going to be a mother to my children, and I'm making myself accountable to you." Sister Pettit never said anything to her. The preacher never said anything to her. God spoke to her. I'm going to tell you, brother, it makes a difference when God gets up. It makes a difference when God arises. It makes a difference when God goes to talking. People's lives begin to change when God gets up and God begins talking. Oh my, we can't change the whole country. But I'm telling you, we can start right here, in this little group right here, saying, God, help us. Start with me, God. I'm not just interested in you changing my neighbor. I'm interested in you changing me. I'm interested in being part of the solution and not part of the problem. I'm making myself available to you, Lord. Talk to me, God, and I'll do what you say. It's a crisis when the faithful are few. It's a crisis when godly men cease. And we are in a crisis. It's time to wake up. I said it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to arouse God. It's time for us to say, help, Lord. You know it's the truth. A defective faith. A toxic culture. A dysfunctional government. But it's got to go back to the beginning, to the origin. The faith has got to be correct.